Good morning. It's lovely to be with you all today. I love Cedarville, and I'm just thrilled to be here today. So I stand before you testifying to the Lord's loving kindness in saving me from my sins through his death and resurrection. If you remember anything from today, please remember the gospel, the very good news of Jesus that has transformed my own life and brought me out of darkness and into his marvelous light. My story of salvation begins very early in my life. I came to know the Lord around the age of 5. Through the sovereignty of God, my family had moved from Tampa, Florida, out into a suburb. And so at this time, my mom was looking for a school for me. My mom was a believer at the time, and my dad was not. And I cannot tell my story without telling my dad's story as well. But we had gotten an acceptance letter for a school that was right behind my house, and it seemed an ideal situation. But when we arrived for the open house, we were told that that was a mistake, and I actually was not accepted. I was on a wait list. And I remember walking to my home that day with my dad, and we were both really upset. But little did we know that this turn of events would lead to a whole new life for the both of us. That denial turned out to be one of the best news for my family because Principal Cherry at Belchel's Baptist Academy had saved a spot for me at her school. Through that academy, now I just want to pause right here and say this is one of the reasons I'm a huge fan of Christian education, because it was through that academy that we began to be involved in the church that ran the school. I joined the children's choir, and my teachers faithfully shared the gospel with me every week. I remember coming home one day and sitting on the floor in my room thinking, Jesus is real, God is real, heaven is real. And I think in the best way that a 5-year-old me could, I confessed that I was a sinner to Jesus and asked him to forgive me of my sins. And at that time, of course, I was so young, I didn't fully grasp all the nuances of sin, but I knew enough to know that I had done bad things and I wasn't perfect. And I believe in that moment that Jesus heard my little cry of faith and he forgave me. I quickly confirmed that I did it right with my mom and told my choir teachers the next time that I saw them. Well, this confession put us on the visitation list at the church, and after this, people from the church came to my house and shared the gospel with my dad. I remember seeing him sitting on the piano bench, crying because he heard the truth of the gospel, and he heard the truth about what Jesus had done for him. And my dad doesn't have a story where he hit rock bottom and lost everything. My dad has a story where he had everything the world had to offer. He had money, he had a family, he had cute kids, he had a job, he had security, but he was still empty. He was still empty. So at the age of 35, my dad finally professed faith in Christ. And this was at the end, this was at the children's choir end of the year musical. And so shortly after we were baptized together, and it was really special. And after that time, I can really say that I grew up in a Christian home. We all continued to attend church and grow in our faith. Fast forward to age 15, I attended a youth conference for the first time, and it was my first one. After the teaching time, I remember the pastor giving an invitation, but before he had even finished, a girl came from the back of the auditorium to the front and wanted to confess her sins. I was really moved by this act of faith, and I very clearly remember the Holy Spirit convicting me of my own sin at that time, that I had been a fool. In my early teenage years and just later childhood years, it was very easy to live my life as if God wasn't a part of it. Yes, I was attending church, but I was definitely more motivated by seeing my friends than I was learning about God. And I was not reading my Bible on my own. I wasn't really seeking a relationship with God at the time. And I remember at that moment in that church crying and asking God to forgive me for taking him for granted in my life. I was like the church of Ephesus in Revelation 2, 4 through 5, where it says, "But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent, and do the works you did at first." And I think in that moment, I started to have a more adult understanding of what sin was, what repentance was, and that I truly needed a savior. I needed to get back to my first love that I had met years earlier. And after this, I started to grow in my faith. Fast forward again. I started attending college at the University of Florida, and it was my dream college, now second only to Cedarville University. And I can truly say that on the whole, I had no idea what I was in for. I don't know if any of you felt like that coming into college. Everything was new and exciting and fun. And I tended to concentrate more on the fun than I did on the things you actually have to do. I don't think my college rebellion was as bad as it could have been. It may not even look that bad from the outside. But for me, on the inside, I was doing my own thing apart from God. I didn't start off like that. I started out getting involved in a campus ministry and a church, but then I was so excited to hang out with people that I stayed out all night on Saturday night. I didn't go to church Sunday. I started skipping my quiet times because I had other adventures to go on. I wanted to be the most popular girl in my friend group, and popularity takes time. You gotta meet people. I started doing very poorly in my classes, and I got my first D. I neglected the habits of grace, and little by little started believing lies about sin and lies about God. I believed this lie. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. That thing, it's okay. Because I was hearing this from people all around who would question the moral choices I was making. They didn't have the word as moral compass, so they were baffled at why I would struggle to not lie or cheat or gossip or fill in the blank. So I just started being, well, it's okay. They said it's okay. It must be okay. I started to believe the lie that everyone has a wild and rebellious time in college, and that's just what you do. I started to believe the lie that I am finally becoming a mature adult by making these adult choices for myself. I am learning from experience about sin rather than believing what godly people from my church and the word had cautioned me against. One of the biggest areas that I stumbled in was my tongue. 2 Timothy 2:16 warns us, "But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness." And that is exactly what happened. I had no filter, no self-control. I started talking about subjects that were not healthy for my heart or my mind. I started talking about people. I hurt people's feelings. And I finally found myself in a place I should never have been. The summer after my freshman year, I had to take 9 hours of summer classes as a requirement of my scholarship. I wanted to take them at UF, but my parents said, "We aren't paying for you to stay there over the summer." And since I didn't have enough money, I had to take classes at a college local to my home. I hated the thought of returning home and being a kid again. I hated the thought of going to a college that was not UF. I hated the thought of all the fun I was going to miss out on. So FOMO for sure. I remember crying about coming home and having a pity party for myself, just seriously sitting in my parents' bedroom, crying my eyes out. And my normally very sweet and sympathetic mother was very firm and told me that I just needed to accept this. And at that moment, I was very sure that this was going to be the worst summer of my life. But God had very, very good plans for me. There was a girl, Kristen, a year older than me, interning in our youth group, and we were the only ones around our age, so we spent a lot of time together. I had never met anyone that loved God the way that she did, and it's still true. If you ask people about her today and they know her, they absolutely testify to the same thing, that she's just very special. And scripture just poured out of her mouth. I was always so amazed at how much she knew. And she thought she was just being my friend, but really she was mentoring me. I wrote down every piece of scripture that she quoted, and I tried to memorize it too because I wanted to be able to encourage others like she did to follow Jesus. And I really think of her friendship as being a turning point in my life. At the end of the summer, the Lord had broken me down all summer, and at the end, I repented of everything I did my freshman year. I asked God to forgive me and cleanse me. I asked the Lord to restore the things that I had broken. I told the Lord that I never wanted to be so far from him again. Where he went, I wanted to go, and I would go wherever he wanted me to because I never, ever wanted to wander that far from home again. So when I got back my sophomore year, I had changed. I felt like I had started college all over again. I was very concerned with how to go back to that environment and how to navigate my old friendships. They all knew me as a certain person, but I was different. I no longer cared about being the most popular girl in our crowd. Not that I had even achieved that, but I did not care about it anymore. I no longer wanted to avoid classes or studying. I wanted to keep a better guard on the conversation I had and the subjects I would discuss. But I did not know what to do. I did not know. So I turned to God's word. And God gave me these verses to encourage me. Psalm 37, 3 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday." God had given me a way to live my sophomore year. Trust in the Lord and be faithful. Do the things I did when Jesus was my first love. Read my Bible, go to church, get rest, be truthful, be loving, and be kind in all my interactions. But I could not do that unless I was first delighting in God. He would change me from the inside out. I could not do those disciplines well if I wasn't taking joy in God, my first love, and I needed him to change my desires. And then in verse 6, God gave me a way to handle those friendships. I wouldn't have to announce from a loudspeaker I was different. It came in small daily decisions of obedience to be faithful. Then he was going to let his righteousness shine in me. And I wouldn't have to tell people I was different. I was going to be different. I committed to honoring the Lord and pleasing him. And he gave me a very sweet way to handle each one of those friendships. But it was not easy. And sometimes it was very lonely. I was constantly bombarded with temptation to glorify myself or to fall back into old habits. I needed the word so badly just to make it through the day. No one was telling me to have my quiet time. I was just desperate for the word. I never wanted to be far from it. And I even slept with my Bible under my pillow at night because I needed it so bad. And this is my Bible that I had in college. And I don't bring it out much because the binding is loose, but this is the Bible that got me through college. And it was during this year that the Lord started to direct my steps toward ministry full time. I had originally started out in journalism, so I have a very soft spot in my heart for all of you communication majors out there. And yes, that's right. And I went back and forth for a long time. Should I be a Christian journalist or should I be in ministry? And I took a whole year to evaluate this and to seek the Lord about it. I didn't want ministry to be something I did because a lot of my friends were in it. I wanted it to be something that I did because God was calling me specifically to do it. Soon, it became very clear as opportunity after opportunity for ministry started coming my way, and through reading 1 Thessalonians, which is all about Paul's ministry, this was something I wanted to pursue. I did as much ministry as I could while I was in college, and shortly after I graduated, I began seminary. Even though I had grown up in a solid church, I knew that I didn't know enough about the Bible to do anyone any good. At the time, there was only one seminary who had something specific for women's ministry, at least only one that I could find, and so I headed there. There are a lot more opportunities now for women to study this, especially here at Cedarville. Hint, hint, come study with us here. In seminary is also where I met the Whites. They were pursuing their PhDs while I was pursuing my Master's of Divinity. Mrs. White was my mentor while I was there, and I think that's why we are both so passionate about mentoring here on campus. First, it's biblical, it's from Titus 2, and secondly, because we have seen the blessings that come from it in our own lives. After seminary, I worked at a church in Florida for about 8 years with college-age and young single women. I learned so much from that season of life, but after 8 years, I sensed that my time was ending. I had accomplished what I needed to do there, and I needed to move on, and I needed to be challenged and to grow. So professionally, I needed the next step. During this time, I also had a personal disappointment. I had my heart broken, which began a very dark season of grief and depression. I was in Christian counseling for a while, which I highly recommend, because when I finally went, I was like, how come I didn't come to this at least 5 other times in my life? I don't know why I avoided it, because it was so helpful. But through this trial, I learned how powerful forgiveness is in the life of a believer. Many times the Lord has brought me to the story of Joseph when he forgave his brothers to remind me that God is sovereign over my heartaches and he can use them for his glory. And I would not be standing in front of you today if I had not chosen to obey God when he asked me to forgive those who had hurt me. I had to forgive because even though I was hurting, Jesus forgave me of my sins when I had sinned against him so terribly. Because I have been forgiven of so much, how could I possibly withhold forgiveness from somebody else? I had to forgive, but I also had to repent. I had made a person to be my first love before God. Piece by piece, God had to untangle my heart's affections. And again, just like in high school and just like in college, God was calling me to repent of the idols I had made for myself and turn back to him alone as my first love and greatest joy. I often think of the story of Ruth when she followed Naomi. She wasn't following a promise of marriage or security, quite the opposite, because there's no guarantee an Israelite would marry a foreigner such as herself. Instead, she was following the God of Israel. God alone is our rest and security. That is a lesson that I needed to learn. I wrote this soon after my heart had healed. One day, my new husband will not be worth all of these years of singleness. Jesus, you are worth it. No man can bear the weight of all of my years of disappointment, sighing, sadness, discouragement, and sacrifice. He is not worth it, but you are, Jesus. You are worth the sacrifice, still are, still always will be. You are not a consolation prize. You are the prize. As these two things converged in my life, both professionally and personally, I made my resume for the first time in 8 years. Not knowing where the Lord would send me, but asking God desperately for a rescue. And I had my rescue. I had not done my resume for 8 years. And I had it, and I had it for 2 weeks. I didn't know where I was going to send it. I gave it to one person, just had no idea what was next, and I got a phone call from Joy White. I was in the car with my sister, and I saw her name pop up on my phone. And I turned to my sister, and I said, she's going to offer me a job. Like, I knew it, because this was the answer to prayer. But mind you, she had no idea what was happening in my life at that point. We hadn't spoken in probably at least a year. But we had kept in touch, and she asked me on this phone call if I would be interested in coming to Cedarville. And I told her how I had my resume ready, and I sent it to her that night. Oh, thank you so much. So I have mascara? Just come down. Sorry. Man. Here we go. Sorry if I have cat eyes here. Okay. So I come to Cedarville. I had my resume ready. The whole process of moving here only took a few weeks, and all of a sudden, God had given me a whole new life, a whole new trajectory. I do not think there's a day that goes by where I haven't thanked the Lord for this new life, and that is the truth. The final trial I would like to mention today is most recent. A short time after I began here, I started work on a doctoral program at Southern Seminary. I basically had two full-time jobs and averaged about 1 to 5 hours of sleep a night. I know some of you are right there with me right now, so it's rough. And it made my experience of being a student very fresh in my mind. And the Lord encouraged me in these two ways. One, he provided for me. Just when I wanted to quit and I was serious about it, not when I was having a pity party and feeling sorry for myself, but when I was genuinely like, oh, I'm done now, God would provide. He would provide. He knew when I was serious, and he would provide. He provided strength from his word. He provided friendships, encouraging words, food, resources I needed for research, finances. He provided every single time because this was his idea from start to finish, and he saw me through it. And oftentimes, so the second way he encouraged me is oftentimes I would want to believe the lie that I just worked for God because I was working so much and so often that I thought I was just a worker bee. But God would always gently remind me that he is not a God far away, but a God who is near. He is Emmanuel. I am his daughter, and his first priority was my heart and not my workload. And I want to end our time together by reading what I wrote about 2 years after coming here. But first, I want to read this passage. It's Philippians 3, 7 through 11. And it says, but whatever I gain, I had counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. And here's my reflection on this that I wrote not long after I came here. I would never trade this journey I have been on for 1,000 pain-free lifetimes because then I would not know Christ like I do. To fellowship with him in suffering. I would never trade the depth of character he has built in me. I would never trade those nights lying in my bed, crying out to God, and in his faithfulness, him meeting me there. I would never trade those moments where I was in the depths of despair, but he met me with an unrelenting pursuit. My prayer for you today would be like Paul, what Paul said in Philippians, that you would know God in the fellowship of his sufferings, but also in the power of his resurrection that can raise a broken heart and make it whole. And may I encourage you students today, college was where I learned to love the Bible. This is when I learned to love God's word. It is where I had my biggest lessons of repentance and restoration, and I think maybe that's why the Lord has allowed me to work with college students today. These years are special, and I pray you will learn in this season to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. Amen. And you're dismissed.